I'm Brian McGreath. We're in Lenox, Massachusetts, and this is Rafael Payare. He's here to conduct the Boston Symphony Orchestra for the very first time. And Rafael, thank you for a little bit of your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Please, thank you very much, and thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I'm very excited, actually.
Have you, you mentioned to me a minute ago that you had been to Tanglewood before. Did you have a chance to hear the Boston Symphony? And tell me about what you have known about the Boston Symphony before now coming here to conduct the orchestra for the first time.
Oh my God, I mean, the Boston Symphony is the Boston Symphony. You know, it doesn't need any kind of introduction, of course. And I have the pleasure when I was this fellowship in 2012, I think I saw the Boston Symphony maybe in three or four programs, different programs. I remember that it was full of different colors and many things, and I was really impressed. And of course, the technique of the, well, everything that you know about the orchestra, you know, the lush sound on the strings, the brass, the woodwind, everything was, I was mesmerized by it. So I'm really looking forward to finally being able to make music with them.
Now, you grew up as a horn player in Venezuela. Was it Caracas where you were born?
No, I was born in Puerto La Cruz, actually, which is in the east, northeast part of Venezuela. But then I moved to Caracas around 2000, something like that, yeah. And then I keep being with the Simón Bolívar Orchestra. That's where the Simón Bolívar Orchestra was based. So I have to move to Caracas, and that's what I did, let's say, the last 12 or 15 years or something like that. Yeah.
And so as a horn player in the orchestra, tell me about the sort of beginnings of your decision to conduct instead. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, being a horn player in an orchestra like that is sort of a dream by itself. What was it that led you to think, I actually want to take over and be the person at the front of the orchestra leading the orchestra?
Yeah, well, it happened. We had a tour back in the days when the orchestra was called the National Children Orchestra of Venezuela. We had a tour in Italy with this Italian maestro. His name was Giuseppe Sinopoli. And he came, he had no Spanish, and less than a minute, he changed the sound of the orchestra just with his aura. I mean, and I remember that to do any kind of tempo changes or anything with the youth orchestra was kind of complicated. I mean, it takes a long time. And with him, just a matter of seconds. And I was really impressed. And I said, like, wow, I want to do that one day. So that's how I started to get the conducting bug, let's say.
Well, Giuseppe Sinopoli, what a legendary conductor and someone we lost too soon. Yeah. But then beyond that, you came up through the Sistema in Venezuela, something that is so powerful and has many are replicating it around the world, or at least trying to varying degrees of success, I'm sure. But tell me what it is about El Sistema that that shapes your view of music. What is it that El Sistema does to form the way you think about music? And especially, how does that apply now and in your work as a conductor?
Yeah, well, we have the luck to... I have the luck to be born in Venezuela, where we have Maestro José Antonio Abreu, which was the founder of El Sistema. The thing with El Sistema is that regarding music is not just a thing that you do, it's how you live, really. I mean, so everything that you do is like taking air. You don't think about it. It just becomes part of you. So with El Sistema, since you start, you get a teacher for your instrument, for the theoretical part, and at the same time, you also be part of an orchestra. So everything that is, since the very beginning, you are just breathing and getting into this kind of world, which becomes your life. And of course, this is the way that I make music, and it keeps going. Whenever I am going to, now that I'm doing conducting with this amazing and different orchestra, it's just exactly the same, because I'm all the time just thinking. And of course, the better the orchestra is, then of course the palette gets even wider and wider, and then you just keep dreaming and wanting to achieve even higher artistic levels. So it's wonderful, I have to say.
Well, let's talk about the program that you're conducting here with the BSO. It begins with a piece that is by Inocente Carreño, Margariteña, and it's the first time the BSO has ever played anything by Carreño. So tell me about this piece and why you chose it to begin this concert.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. It is a sweet sinfonica. Margariteña means the people that live in the Margarita Island. So he portrayed the way Carreño wrote this. It was very much in the style because he passed away a couple of years ago, and during his time it was with the impressionistic kind of style. So you could hear kind of a little bit of colors like Ravel of Debussy, but it's not because he was copycatting them. It's just because he was in Paris, and he was doing at that time. So he uses Venezuelan folk songs, And he puts it in a way with having a contrapoint with this kind of kaleidoscope kind of orchestration. The beautiful thing with the Margariteña is that actually that is the island that is across from the sea from I was born. And actually in the Margarita Island, that's where I got married as well. Oh. So it gets a really, really close place in my heart. So of course, when we were talking about the program that we were going to do with the Boston Symphony, they would say something about, what about if you could bring something from Venezuela? And I immediately say, well, what about Margariteña from Vicente Carreño? And they say, yes. So immediately we put it in as part of the program to open.
Beautiful. And then Brahms' First Symphony is also on the program. Is this also a choice of yours, or was this a BSO request that came to you?
Well, you know, it goes a little bit like back and forth. It's the same thing with the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto. They told me, well, Luganskij is going to be your soloist. I was very happy. So I said, like, well, whatever Nikolai wants to play, it's no problem for me. And then we were going through the repertoire that I usually do. And when they land into Brahms 1, I was very happy. Everything is so wonderful, and the music is so deep and rich, and having an orchestra like this to be able to display, I'm very, very excited.
Well, when you come to Brahms, I mean, and you have that discussion with a BSO, what is it that your mind goes to? What is it that you begin to prepare yourself for with Brahms? What do you want to bring to that music, and what do you want the music to say to the audience?
Well, Brahms, he had a huge chip on his shoulder before writing his first symphony. I mean, the piano concerto was already done, and he had this weight that he was supposed to be the next Beethoven. So this was supposed to be like Beethoven's 10th symphony. And you could feel the kind of suffering and going chromatically into a different shape until he finally breaks it and breaks free, and he could just put all his language in it. So it's wonderful to see this kind of internal suffering through music. It's just phenomenal to be there with this kind of friction between the rhythm and the harmony, and then how he orchestrates, and then how he puts the horns from one side, and then he adds the trombone at the end. It's just fantastic. And so this is what I wanted to bring a little bit and tell the audience. Of course, the audience knows it, but it's wonderful to relive it. Yeah.
And there's always someone who hasn't heard it before, too, so
yeah,
that's good, too.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
You mentioned Nikolai Luganskij. Is he someone you've worked with before?
Yes, I have, yeah. We worked together a few years ago, I think, in Madrid, and he was playing Rachmaninoff 3, and we have this connection immediately, so I was very happy to be making music with him again.
You're going to be the conductor now, the music director of the San Diego Symphony. I think you haven't yet taken that position yet. It's coming right up. Yeah. So I know you've led other orchestras, but what is it that you're hoping to do? What is it that San Diego makes such a great fit for you? What is it that you're hoping to bring to them, and what do they bring maybe to your particular artistic life?
Yeah, well, it's great. First of all, the connection with the orchestra was fantastic. This is point number one. We have a wonderful chemistry since the very first rehearsal. But also, I was starting to look at the last 15 years of the repertoire that they were doing, and also the project that they want to develop. They want to reach out to community, which is very important for me, and also with education, me coming from a system. This is a thing that I think that is very important, and we should all the time try to expand and get much more. And it felt like, you know, when you put a glove and it just fits right, we could do many, many things. The artistic team is also wonderful, and they love as crazy as I am. So it's good. We have a great fit with artistic craziness. And it looks like, you know, the sky is the limit. So we could really do a bunch of things in different direction, not without trying to, you know, just do all over things, because sometimes you have to focus. But the project itself, it has no barriers. So it's wonderful to have that feeling. And that's why I was very happy to take it.
It's a really large metropolitan area that maybe for the size of the area, maybe the San Diego Symphony hasn't had the highest profile that it could, because there are so many people there. And I would imagine, I'm just speculating, that the Sistema approach to drawing in young people, it's just got to be ripe for that kind of approach.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, of course, the Mexican border is just 15 minutes away from downtown. But itself, the city itself, it's a melting pot of many nationalities. It's not only the Latins. I mean, there are people from all different places. So, of course, it will be, the idea is also to try to develop this kind of a system approach and try to get into different communities and try to bring more young people into this, because they are going to be the future. So it's very important that we keep nurture them with what we do and love.
Rafael Parriere, it's great to have you here, and I appreciate a little bit of your time this morning. Congratulations for your debut here at Tanglewood.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.